Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company, 5 o'clock hour here on ESPN Las Vegas. Stephen A. Smith's been in the news a lot, mostly because he puts himself in the news, usually fighting with LeBron or saying something about Durant or whatever the hell he's doing to try to get attention. Now, Griffin, he's trying to get attention in a different way.
Yes, he is. So he came out and he's basically explaining his desire to be in more than just sports media. Apparently, the man wants to be in movies. He said, I want to be on primetime television. I want to be on epic shows like Law and Order. I want to work with great actors and great directors and stuff like that. It's certainly something that I aspire to do. There's no doubt about that.
You know what? A lot of times I'm hard on him because he says stuff that just drives me crazy, and he gets, you know, he's one of those guys I feel like that doesn't always give his honest opinion. He gives an opinion to get a rise, which to me, I just don't like it. But in this case, I think he's 100% right. I mean, if this is better than politics, like I'd rather have him be an actor or something than be like my mayor, you know, or something like that, whatever. Because I don't feel like he's qualified for politics like he thinks he is. I think he's qualified for this. I mean, he's an entertainer. It's what he does. He makes $20 million a year. He makes more than a lot of actors do right now per year doing his show.
Oh, yeah. I full-heartedly agree with you. I think his statements about wanting to get into politics and his appearances on, like, Fox News are absolutely a joke. It's stupid, man. We've gone through the experience of having a television personality reach the White House.
Right.
So it's like
twice. Yeah.
So I don't really want to deal with that again. And plus, Stephen A. Smith, have you seen the clips of him in soap operas?
No.
He's been in a few soap operas, yes.
Oh, I got to look that up.
There's one where he comes into the room. Sorry, spoiler alert. He comes in and he unalives a crooked nurse as she's trying
way.
To kill a patient. Yes.
What is he, shooter?
He's the shooter, yeah. It's so funny, man. It's,
wow.
It's so funny.
How did we not get this clip before we came on?
I should have posted this. Wow. I mean, it's so good. But he's had multiple appearances in these soap operas, and it's just funny to see that big old forehead walk into a room.
Yeah. I think he could be funny. He could be in a comedy, maybe. He could be like, you know, those comedies where there's always like that guy who like says crazy stuff and yells and is funny. He could be one of those guys. Like, easy.
Thing is, his demeanor, he seems like he likes to be more of the guy who comes in cold, collected.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If he makes the movie, he's going to be like Cobra, you know, like the guy with like one of those Sylvester Stallone movies or something. If somebody else makes the movie, he's going to be like the funny, you know, crazy guy.
He's going to be the goofy friend or something. If he makes it, he's going to be James freaking Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What, do you think he's going to be like a lead role guy?
No.
Did you ever see him starring in his own movie?
No, man. No. I don't know. His personality and who he is, he's just too big of a personality to where if I see him in anything, like the clips I saw in the soap operas, or if I see him in other shows or films, it's just going to be like, yo, that's Stephen A. Smith. Why that he stands out too much to just blend into everything.
I think we got Miles Simmons ready to go here. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. It's Greg and Griffin today. Miles, how you doing, man?
I am doing well, gentlemen. I did hear you talking about Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make a confession.
Okay.
I am an avid General Hospital watcher.
Ooh. Like,
I have been watching this show. I know. Maybe I shouldn't admit this on the radio in Las Vegas, but I'm going to. But I watched it as a kid. You know, mom put it on the TV at night when there used to be this thing called SoapNet. And so it was not necessarily my choice to start. But I have kept doing it. So I've been watching this show for damn near 25 years, right?
Yeah.
Stephen A. coming on as Brick. He's pretty electric. I'm not going to lie to you. He is.
You're kidding.
I'm telling you. I can see it.
I'm not. And last week, I know the clip was floating around, but like he had to save a major character in the show and like with the silencer because he is, you know, the technology guy. So he comes into the room and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this fake nurse is trying to kill Sonny, and here's Stephen A. as Brick. And what does he do? He whips out the silencer, two shots, man, it's over. It was pretty good. It was a good scene, I'm not gonna lie.
All right, so I gotta ask you, and by the way, this is Miles Simmons, NFL Insider, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, joining Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. So Miles, you think he's got a career in acting? You could see him in some films, maybe some bigger television roles?
Certainly not. I think he's perfect for the role that he's got. But yeah. He's talked about this, and he wrote about it in his memoir. Like I think his grandmother used to watch General Hospital. You know, and that's how these things get passed down. And so he was a big fan, It made it known he was a big fan. They, you know, works for the Mouse, and so the Mouse also broadcasts General Hospital, and they said, hey, why don't you come on, see what you can do? And he really has turned what was a cameo appearance into a recurring role. Like, he's been on the show for years and years now, so I respect him for this, you know? He does a good job.
Well, talking some football here with Miles, and look, this keeps happening. I don't know why. I don't know why these guys can't get like the massage gun or whatever or something. But, you know, we had it with Watson, now with Justin Tucker, and the Ravens have released him. I want to ask you first, do you feel like the Ravens' statement was a little too nice?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was a little unnecessary, especially given what he's under investigation for. But, you know, in some ways, the Ravens were kind of covering their ass, right? In that making the statement say, yeah, this is a football decision. Now, you don't really have to do that. You know, I think we have seen plenty of times where you get a one-line release and it's the Ravens have released Justin Tucker. I mean, hell, like we saw the Raiders do it with Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
On Halloween a couple years ago. Where it's, yeah, they've been relieved of their duties. And so I think given what he is under investigation for, you know, inappropriate conduct during massage therapy sessions, we don't necessarily need to go the whole flowery route, right? I think the Ravens signaled what they were going to do when they drafted a kicker in the sixth round. And you have reason to move on from Justin Tucker for football reasons, right? Because he was not as good as he's been last year. To say like, oh, this is purely football, blah, blah, blah. Like, of course it's not. You know, production equals tolerance, right? And because Justin Tucker was no longer as productive as he had been, your tolerance for the stuff that now comes with him is much lower, and it should be.
Miles, obviously what Justin Tucker has going on in his personal life is very serious. And obviously, you know, the situation isn't great for him. But I mean, once we get past and once this next upcoming football season gets going, do you believe this is the end for Justin Tucker's NFL career? Can you see him possibly getting picked up by a team maybe later in the year? Maybe an injury happens. Do you see any scenario like that?
Yes, I can see it. Now, and it also depends on what the result of this investigation is, right? Because if it turns out that he gets suspended for, I don't know, 10 weeks or something like that, and then that's it, and, you know, he has a second half of the season to come back. Yeah, there's going to be a team that is kicker needy that's going to take a flyer on Justin Tucker. Because I'll put it this way. I can certainly see Justin Tucker playing in the National Football League well before I can ever imagine Deshaun Watson playing in the National Football League again, in part because if you bring in Justin Tucker, it's not going to be that hard to get rid of him, one, but also because he's been an elite player within the last, you know, 2-3 years, right? You haven't seen that from Deshaun Watson since 2020. That ship has sailed. At least Justin Tucker has a longer history of being an elite kicker, and, you know, in 2023 was still pretty darn good at his job. And there were parts of 2024 where he was still pretty good at his job too, but it just certainly was not the same level of production that we have all been accustomed to from a Justin Tucker.
So Raiders news here. Everybody obviously copying the Eagles now after what they did to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I know it's my team, so I have to give them, you know, I always have to say nice things about the Eagles. But the Raiders have gone out and poached their staff. They've gotten one of their top scouts now, brought them into the Raiders fold. I kind of like what they've been doing this offseason. I mean, could they have done it any better this offseason, the Raiders so far? You think they've been doing pretty good?
I love what the Raiders have done in the offseason for sure. I think hiring Pete Carroll is great. I mean, I don't know if it's just my bias from being a kid and, oh my goodness, Donovan Mitchell. I'm sorry, guys, but like, you, when you see the Donovan Mitchell dunk that just happened at the end of the first half between the Cavs and Pacers, my Lord. Sorry. Yeah, you really should. Anyway, I always loved Pete Carroll, and I love what he did at USC. You know, growing up, kid in Cleveland, you know, you see what happens at the Coliseum, you know, you and it's always sunny and all those things like that. That always looks cool. And then I think, you know, he has a long history of being successful, too, in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks. And it's not like those teams were uncompetitive when they decided that they wanted to move on from him. And so based on those teams and all that, and getting John Spytek, you know, somebody who's been around the league, been around in different teams, had success with being in a front office. Like, I think that those two guys are great to lead them. And, you know, the interesting thing about this part of the year, after we get past the draft, is that you see new GMs bring in their people for the personnel department. And so that's what's going on here with John Spytek. We saw it in a couple places. He's picked up a guy from the Broncos, now the Eagles. So it's getting guys that he has worked with before and that he really trusts in these positions so that, you know, you can really build this thing up in the way that he wants to see it, in the way that Pete Carroll wants to see it, with guys that he trusts. So I think that that's good. And I mean, aside from, you know, the two big hires, right? Like, you've got, I think, the best acquired quarterback situation in the National Football League over this offseason, right, with Geno Smith. And, you know, I think Geno Smith's a better player than Sam Darnold. And so because of all the different things that have happened, like Matthew Stafford didn't move teams, right? Like, the Raiders came out ahead, I think, when it comes to the quarterback position and then also head coach and GM. So, yeah, I love what they've done this offseason.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Miles, I agree with you that I believe that the Raiders have given Raider Nation a lot to be excited about this offseason. But, you know, being a defensive stickler that I am, I gotta ask you about one point. It seems like they, after losing a big portion of their linebacking core from last year, they didn't really address it in the draft except for drafting Cody Lindenberg from Minnesota in the sixth round. They got Devin White on the roster. Do you like where they're at right now with their linebacking core, or do you feel like there's still a move or two they got in their pocket?
I think there's a move or two that they can make. And, you know, one of the things about linebacker is that it's easier to bring in a guy at that spot, you know, late in the offseason program, early on in training camp, than it might be at some other positions. It's not necessarily that you're saying to yourself, oh man, linebackers aren't important. Of course they are. But there's only so much you can do to address different things in one offseason. And B, it's not like there are, you know, total slouches, I guess you could say, like, at the position that are still free agents. I mean, C.J. Mosley still out there. Bentley is still out there. Campbell's still out there. Kendrick's still out there. So, like, there are guys who are available that the Raiders can bring in. And you don't necessarily need to do that before the end of the offseason program, because maybe there is somebody on that defense that Pete Carroll and Patrick Graham look at and they say, actually, he may have some growing pains, but we can work with this in this particular defensive scheme because we like the traits that he has. And so if you bring in a veteran at this point, you're going to take away those reps from the younger player that might show that he has those good instincts. And so I don't think it's reason to panic at this point that the Raiders have not done more at linebacker.
I got to get your take on something here, Miles, because I went probably a little bit too insane about this earlier when I read this, but I don't understand this, where people retire numbers. Like, now Abdul Carter apparently wanted two different numbers from the Giants. They both said no, Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor. Why, if the number's retired, how is it not retired?
Yeah, I don't understand this either. I mean, like, retired number is really supposed to mean something.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be that's a player that is revered through the organization. Now, can we say that some teams maybe have too many retired numbers? Like, maybe, but, like, the Giants, Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor are two pillars, right, of that franchise. If you're doing a franchise Mount Rushmore, those two guys are there. So, I mean, hell, if you're doing an NFL Mount Rushmore, there's an argument for Lawrence Taylor to
right.
be on it. So, yeah. No, you cannot have that number. And I don't know what that is about. Maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know. But, you know, when you learn about a retired number or you hear about a number that's retired, the point is, you go and you research that guy and you understand why it's retired.
Thank you.
Go look at Wikipedia. Like, it's,
exactly.
I don't think it's that hard. Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe this is one of those things that makes me a boomer. But, like, if her number's retired, it should stay that way. And even with the weird one that I can kind of understand, like a Cam Ward and a Warren Moon. Like, Warren Moon never really played for the Titans. He played for the Oilers.
Right.
It just so happens that that's still the same franchise. So, like, I get that being a little bit different, But the Giants are the Giants are the Giants.
Right.
No, you cannot have Lawrence Taylor or Phil Simms' number.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. The Giants have absolutely not been the same franchise they were back when Eli Manning was at quarterback. Tom Coughlin, a head coach. They still are seem like they're trying to recover from that. They're still trying to get back to that point. Reports coming out now that an old legend is coming back and could possibly be joining the ownership group of the New York Giants in Michael Strahan as he's pursuing an investment in the team. Do you see if he's able to become get into the ownership group, do you see this being a lot like a Tom Brady situation where he's making a lot of calls and helping the redirection of the franchise? Or do you think he's going to be more just laid back and it's just another thing to add to his portfolio?
I think Michael Strahan has so many jobs that it would probably be hard for him to find hours in the day to do that. I mean, you know,
yeah.
He hosts game shows. He does Good Morning America every day. In the fall, he does the Fox studio. So, like, I think that might be tough, but it's always good to have, let's call it brand ambassador, if you will, that would be a Michael Strahan. I mean, like, he is another one of those guys. So when you think of the Giants, that's who you think of. So I don't think it could hurt anything for him being more involved in the team. I mean, it is, I think, a little bit different when you're an actual alumni of the team versus Tom Brady, who is just a part of the ownership group, you know, and maybe you're a little bit more divorced from it and you see it from a different view as opposed to that. But no, I don't know if Michael Strahan, like I said, has all enough time in the day to really become like an active participant in certain things. But I don't think, you know, him joining an ownership group with the Giants would hurt anything at all. Definitely not.
Miles, working with PR people is just part of the job if you work in the media. So, you know, tons of PR people in our time, probably. I've never met a PR person that is also the spouse or the girlfriend, boyfriend of the person that we're about to interview. Maybe it happens a lot. I don't know. Do you? I don't know if you've been following this situation with Belichick about the, you know, the girlfriend, the interview. She seems to be very bold in how what she wants asked, what she doesn't want them to ask. And now he's looking for a new PR person. What do you think of this whole thing?
I think it's weird.
Right?
It's weird and it's a distraction and it makes me feel like, all right, the NFL was right to say that things have passed Bill Belichick by and, you know, let's go on to the next generation and move on from there. And I think that there are probably a lot of teams that feel vindicated that they did not necessarily pursue hiring Bill Belichick in either of the last hiring cycles. I mean, like, it's just strange, you know, and I don't mean to be in anybody's business, and it's not my business, but, you know, when you have someone like Jordan Hudson, who has made herself a part of the story, like, that's the opposite of what PR is supposed to be, right? You know, you're supposed to help make things blow over or make sure that things are being framed in the proper light, and she clearly doesn't have the training to make those things happen. And so, yeah, I like I said, I think it's a big distraction. If I'm UNC, I don't really understand what in the world we've done other than, you know, hire somebody that is obviously going to raise the profile of our school and our university and our football team. But it makes me wonder how well he's going to coach at the college level if, like, all this stuff keeps going on around him. It's just an odd situation.
Miles, I don't know how close you follow the Met Gala. It apparently is one of the most important events that goes down in on the planet.
I don't even know what it is, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, according to Doug Gottlieb, it's the most important event to ever exist. I don't know how much you followed it going on yesterday, but did you see any of the outfits we saw a lot of our athletes attending in?
I saw a decent amount of things. My girlfriend is a big fan of it. You know, I don't really understand what it is that they do there either, other than, like, they get dressed up and take pictures on the red carpet. Apparently Usher performed, and I think Stevie Wonder performed too. But yeah, I did. Lewis Hamilton was really all decked out in the cream, and, you know, he's got shells on his sleeves, and apparently they mean something, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Were you a little disappointed? I don't know if you saw Joe Burrow's outfit, but instead of what he did last year, going with the backless suit, being real scandalous with it, he came very cordon. He came very official, very bunned up, casual suit. Do you feel like this event is that, like, what is this event for these pro athletes? Like, why is it so attractive to them, and why do we always see some of the biggest names in sports attending it?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably pretty fun. You know, you get to hang out in a room like Zendaya's there. You know, there are all kinds of cool people. Rihanna was there. I mean, Russell Wilson goes because Sierra's his wife, so like, lucky him, right?
But right.
I don't know who else was there. There are a few other people I know that were there, but I think it seems fun. I don't know if I would want to go every year, but like, it seems fun to do once, you know, see what everybody's up to, see what all the hype is about. I don't know.
He's Miles Simmons, NFL insider from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Thank you, Miles, so much for joining us, man. I'll talk to you next time.
All right, take care, guys.
That is Miles. And look, coming up next, we got a lot to talk about. Actually, I meant to ask Miles about this, if he cares or not, but a huge game has been delayed in its development to come out. And I'll tell you what that game is coming up here on Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Welcome back into Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. I'm Greg Salerno. Steve is out today. I'm joined by Griffin Kemp. Got Devin behind the board over there. And Griffin, we've been talking Raiders all day. We've been talking Tom Brady. We've been talking Shedeur Sanders. You just saw a story hot off the presses. Griffin's breaking news right here.
This should be a segment. I'm going to pitch it to Steve.
You should do it.
Griffin's breaking segment.
Yeah.
So apparently Tom Brady came out and he said that he actually reached out to Shedeur Sanders after his NFL draft slip. He said on the Impulsive podcast, "I actually texted Shedeur because I knew him very well. And I said, dude, whatever happens, wherever you go, that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199. So who can speak on it better than me? Use it as motivation, your chances, and go take advantage of it."
If there's a guy to do it, I guess it's Tom Brady. He was a 6th-round pick, and then Shedeur was a 5th-round pick. Now, I don't think that Shedeur Sanders is going to be Tom Brady, but Tom Brady also wasn't Tom Brady until he got to the NFL. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I was about to say, that's some dangerous advice he's giving, because not everybody can turn out to be a GOAT Tom Brady-like person.
I guess Shedeur didn't have a choice, though. I mean, he's sitting there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So he's starting to make him feel better, and why not? You know?
Yeah, I mean – man, I wish we could go back. I know I was obviously way too young, but I would have liked to have been around and keeping up with the draft when Tom Brady was coming into, 2000? Was it 2000 draft class?
I think so.
Something like 2000, 2001.
Because 2001 is the one where he won the Super Bowl. So it might have been the year before that, maybe 99.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I can't imagine. I want to know, how was Tom Brady talked about? Was he talked about as one of the top prospects in that draft class? Obviously not. He went 199.
Yeah, I don't even think that he was a starter the whole time at Michigan when he was there.
I think he had one season of start. He started like his last season. But yeah, no, I mean, a very different situation than Shedeur, as in, you know, Shedeur and his dad kind of brought this on upon themselves.
And when Tom Brady first came in, you know, to the cheating Patriots, they, you know, knew what plays were coming the whole time. So who knows? I mean, maybe Shedeur, if they could cheat or something, he could be Tom Brady too.
Yeah, you know, maybe instead of settling it, you know, QB competition on the field, him and Dylan Gabriel settle in the locker room.
Maybe what he texted him.
Ooh.
How to get to the – because apparently there was allegations of stealing playbooks out of lockers, messing up the people's – you know, like if you're playing in New England, all of a sudden your headset would go out and the very important drives, all kinds of crazy stuff. And they were using microphones on the field before you were allowed to. Now you're allowed to have a guy with a microphone, you know, on offense and defense. They didn't used to have that. And then the Pats are supposedly were doing it anyway, allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, I mean, if they can cheat like that with the Browns – I mean, maybe he does have a success.
I would say that I would hope, you know, that it's likely we could see Shedeur because of the fact that despite, you know, all the negative criticism he and Deion kind of brought upon themselves with the outlandish statements they made, I really do think that he was, you know, being viewed in some people's eye as a top 10 prospect in this year's draft. And the fact that he dropped to the fifth, if he had just not gone to the Browns, I would have said, if any other team would have drafted him, I would have said he's got a great shot at just being the surprise player in this class and, you know, coming up the ranks and earning the spot and making a huge performance, proving all the critics and doubters wrong. But the fact that he went to the Browns, man, the freaking Browns, they're notorious outside of the Bears, them and the Bears are literally notorious for killing quarterbacks, killing their careers, and not developing them, not getting them to where they need to be. So it's I really want to see Shador come out and just surprise everybody and say and show like, hey, I really should have gotten the first. Like,
yeah,
but we'll see how it goes with them and the Browns.
I don't really care either way, but I don't think he was ever a top. I don't think anybody had him as a top 10 pick. I thought that was all media generated. I think it was all like Deion's name, all of that. I don't think anybody really saw him as a great draft pick or, you know, as a person that was going to be a top 10 pick. I think that it was all, you know, and the mock draft guys. I mean, none of these guys work for actual teams.
Right.
You know, it's just a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the actual teams, I bet if you asked the actual teams and they were honest, I bet most of them didn't have him as a first round pick the whole time.
Yeah, and it's rough, too, when you go into a situation where, you know, he's coming in as a fifth round draft pick. He's they picked up Dylan Gabriel in the third, so he's not even the first rookie quarterback they picked.
I know.
So it's like, but then it's kind of similar to the situation of when Tim Tebow went to the Patriots, where he's the guy who's not necessarily seen it. He's not looked at as the day one starter, but his persona is so big. I mean, we got Devin who just let me know, gave a nice little tidbit that the third, fourth, and fifth round, the viewing ratings were as high as they've been. If ever for those rounds, usually people, I guess, tune out.
Yeah.
The casuals tune
usually,
out.
Yeah, usually just like nerds like me that are watching after that at that point. Because I want to see like the Eagles back up to the backup to the backup, you know, yeah, just drafted or whatever. But
exactly. So, I mean, it's going to be a weird situation. There's going to be a big spotlight on this quarterback room in Cleveland. And it's going to be real interesting to see how that competition goes.
It's got to be suck to be a Browns fan, dude.
Ugh.
Like, I know I complain about being a Yankees fan. I'm like kind of tongue-in-cheek with that because I know they win a lot, you know, in the regular season and stuff. But, man, being a Browns fan, like, you thought you were getting Deshaun Watson and like, oh, our whole franchise is going to change. Like, yeah, it changed all right. And then you thought, like, you know, I mean, you just go back. How many times did they draft a quarterback that didn't work out? How many times did they think they had it? There were a couple times where there was one year where they were like, look good with Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man, next year they're going to come in, blah, blah. Nope. Came in, tanked again. Then every time a quarterback leaves, they get better. Now, the only guy I could think that was different is Flacco actually played pretty well with the Browns. Was it last year?
No. I think it was the
year before.
Year before that.
Well, either way, Flacco looked good on the Browns. Other than that, dude, I haven't seen one quarterback go the other direction. It's always like Mayfield now looks like a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, the one quarterback they could have had who – we can't necessarily say that if Baker stayed in Cleveland, he was going to enjoy success.
Yeah,
we can't say or not, but it just is a very Browns thing for you to ship a quarterback out who you drafted in the first freaking round.
I know.
Your first overall, who's supposed to be the savior, and then you ship him out, and then he goes off. And he had to go to a couple spots first, but now that he's in Tampa Bay, he's balling out. He looks great.
Sorry to cut you off.
No.
I thought he actually looked okay with the Rams. I mean, he didn't get a lot of playing time, and he didn't have a lot of time there because they had Stafford coming back.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought he did pretty well with the Rams, too. I mean, a couple games. First play came in. He threw a touchdown, I think, or whatever. Had a good drive. So I think Baker has always been pretty good. But if you look at the Browns' history with quarterbacks, it's pretty funny, man. I mean, it goes back to Couch. Goes back to Johnny Manziel, who a homeless guy told in the draft, and they drafted him. Then they have Baker and get rid of him. He turns out good. It's the opposite of Johnny Manziel. Then they pick up Watson, give him the biggest contract ever for a quarterback, all guaranteed. And now he's, you know, whatever, doing whatever with that. Now they have two guys they drafted in the draft, and one of the guys is a huge – I don't want to say PR nightmare, but if things go bad, it's going to be nothing but negative attention. Because, you know, Deion's going to hit the airwaves and the social media. If he has problems with a player or a teammate, you know, Shadur's going to be on there talking about his teammates like he did at Colorado. Like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't want him on my team. But
keep in mind, those are grown men that he's teammates with now. And he's going to that's an interesting angle, though, that you just brought up. I really do want to see whichever way Shadur's career goes in the NFL, how it starts out, especially in this first season. I am very interested to see how much Deion will comment on certain things.
Well, I'll give you a hint. His career is going to be bad. So,
Okay.
Fifth round pick on the Browns. I mean, look, if he's good, then that's awesome. But I feel like the odds are very strongly in the favor of him having much suckage with the Browns.
Guess we'll see. But, yeah, Browns are going to brown.
I wanted to ask you about your team because you are a Bears fan.
Mm-hmm.
Same division. You guys picked up their offensive coordinator, who I think was a key to the Detroit success. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out next year, I guess. Ben Johnson, though, I thought was the architect of that entire team. I mean, the Lions defense was decimated last year. It looked terrible down the end of the stretch, and they're still winning because of Ben Johnson.
Mm.
How much is he going to be involved with the offense, number one, do you think? And is he going to call the plays? Because I feel like if Ben Johnson's not calling the plays, you're not really getting Ben Johnson. You're just getting a guy, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what he does.
Yeah, no, 100%. He's going to be calling the plays for sure. This is the first time in a while that the Bears have gotten an offensive-minded head coach. And so he's going to have full control of that offense. We saw in the draft with Loveland going 10 and the picks that they made for the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, the offseason, we rebuilt our offensive line. Caleb Williams is going to take his second or is about to go into his second year.
Are you happy where they put all their resources, like where they're hitting all the spots and everything?
Very, very happy. Okay. As a Bears fan, we never see years where the offense gets as much attention as it has this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, with Eberflus a couple years ago, we had the whole, you know, trading of the first pick that resulted in the Panthers getting Bryce Young, and then we got their pick, which resulted to be Caleb Williams. But and then DJ Moore was a part of that as well. But this is the first time in the offseason where I've watched my team actually get their heads out of their back ends and decide, you know what, this is an offensive league. It's kind of important in this sport to score some points.
Yeah.
So why don't we surround this rookie that we just got, our young quarterback? Let's actually make sure he has no choice but to succeed. And at the end of the year, if he still hasn't, then it's an obvious problem, and that is that the quarterback just can't play. So
right.
I really like where we're going. I believe the Bears play the Raiders this upcoming season. They're on the schedule. If it's in Chicago, I will be rooting from afar. If it's here in town, I will probably be in some fights with some Raider fans in the stadium.
What you got to do is get yourself a press pass. This is what I did when the Eagles were playing the Raiders. I got a press pass. Then I had to go sit in the press box. Me and Clay Baker were sitting there. I had to be quiet because you're not allowed to talk in there and, like, cheer or, you know, boo or anything. I'm watching Derek Carr complete 90% of his passes against the Eagles defense, sitting there trying not to go crazy, dude. Just like, you know, like trying not to make any noise. Do that, and you're going to have to be quiet whichever way it's going.
No, I got to be in the mist. I got to be in there with Raider Nation. I got to be a lone soldier supporting my Bears.
Bad move. Bad move.
I actually went a couple years ago. The Bears came here and they played.
Yeah.
And I actually went with my mother. We went and attended the game. It was my first time actually watching a pro NFL game. Super, super fun. And Bears ended up winning that last minute in that game. But I remember sitting there with my mom and being a little timid, thinking to myself, okay, I am in Raider Nation. I am in Allegiant Stadium. There is a high chance that I am good. Not because it's Raider fans specifically, but most because it's pro sports. It's sports fandom. If you are supporting the away team and the home team stadium, the fans are going to take notice. They're not going to like it too much, but long story short, that game ended up, we won, and I actually had a great time talking and jabbing around with all the Raider fans sitting around us, so it was a great game, man.
Bad move, and I'll tell you why.
What was that?
And you can take your mom even if you want. Just say she's your photographer or something, but get a credential.
Get a credential.
Because when you go to eat, the spread they lay out over there at Allegiant, dude, during games for the press,
mm-hmm.
is so phenomenal. Like, to watch these people, these entitled dummies that complain about anything after seeing what they get treated like at these games is so funny to me, because it's like, I mean, I'm talking buffet with like movie theater type boxes of candy you just take, and fridges full of drinks you can have whatever you want, and all you can eat, and desserts and whatever. Like, they're playing Chicago, they'll have like big Chicago hot dogs and, like, you know, chili or whatever, or when they're playing the Eagles, they'll have Philly cheesesteaks. You got to go. You got to go check it out at least once. Lie, do whatever you have to do. Doesn't matter. Say you're the team CEO. I don't care what it is. You got to get in there.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite stories to hear from Adam Hill and Willie Ramirez, anytime our regulars are here on the show, they take such pride in really describing the feast that is put out in the
press box. I'm glad, though. At least they appreciate it.
They appreciate
it,
but they're also very highly critical when it doesn't meet
the standards. That's exactly what I'm saying. I've seen guys in there complaining. When I was in there, I was like picking up a Philly cheesesteak. This one guy's like, what, they don't have any mayo or whatever the hell it was? And I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? Like, why do you feel like you deserve this? Like, I'm happy to even be here and eat this.
Yeah, you know, I've actually gone and sat in that press box a couple times for like some UNLV games, and that just
not the same.
But
you gotta go during an NFL Raiders game, dude.
But that popcorn they put out there, it's
pretty fire.
It's fire.
Yeah, but that popcorn's nothing. That popcorn's like something you eat on the way to get the real food over here at this one, man. I'm telling you, popcorn's for people that should be complaining. I'm telling you, the people that get the good stuff, you gotta see it.
I gotta check it out one of these times because again, hearing the way that those guys
potatoes au gratin.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Potatoes au gratin.
What is that?
You never had that?
Potatoes au gratin?
It's like a little like potatoes sliced up and look like half dollars almost, you know? And it's like cheese and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but I usually, I've had it, was like in those boxes, you know, you get from the grocery store, like comes pre-made.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they have those, but I'm just saying this is a little bit, you know, it's good. Potatoes au gratin. They also had, I can go on for days, but they had all kinds of good stuff in there.
I might have to check this out. Now I gotta do whatever it takes to get a press pass for a Raider game just to have some decent food.
There you go. All right, I teased this earlier. Come talk about video games. Coming up here on our last break, it's Caulfield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Caulfield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Griffin, do you play video games?
Yeah, and it's not good for my anger.
Really? You get mad?
I get so frustrated when my brothers will beat me on like Call of Duty, or we'll go online. We play a lot of the UFC,
game. Yeah.
It gets to the point where I really think to myself, I need to find counseling for anger management.
Dude, it's funny you say that. It's Caulfield and Company. Steve's out today. I'm Greg Salerno. Got Griffin Kemp here. Devin behind the board. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I tell people this all the time, and I swear I'm not saying this just because you said it. There is nothing in the world that can make me more mad than Madden. Like, if I'm playing Madden, something crazy happens in that game, it hits a dude's helmet, flips up, and then the guy catches it, whatever, they score a touchdown and I lose or something, forget about it, dude. I go absolutely insane, and it makes me more mad than anything in the entire world. I totally get what you're saying. Like, really, I'm surprised I haven't gone to jail just after, like, playing a video game, because I get crazy.
It's just not healthy, but then again, it's not going anywhere. I'm not getting rid of my PlayStation anytime soon.
No way, dude. Do you play Grand Theft Auto?
I did back in the day. Yes, I did.
Everybody did, right? Dude, the crazy thing is, so if you started playing Grand Theft Auto 5 in like 2013-ish, which was, 12 years ago now? That's how long that same game is still out. And what they do now, because of they have online and all that stuff, they just keep updating stuff. But it's the same city. It took place in Los Santos, which is like a fake Los Angeles. It's been going on for 12 years. They're finally making another one, Grand Theft Auto 6, which will take place in like a fake Florida. I forget what city it is. Is it Miami or something? Yeah, they're in Vice City again. That's what it is. And that was supposed to come out in 2025 in the fall. Waiting 12 years for this game.
Right.
Well, they just came out and they said they're delaying it again. Now it's not coming out until spring of 2026.
The things I've heard about this video game, it just seems weird to me. It's like I've heard that it's going to be not only do you have to buy the game, there's like a monthly subscription you got to pay to do certain things with it. It's going to be like people can play online and actually make like money somehow for themselves. Not for their character, but for like
real money,
like some like Bitcoin type stuff or
Yeah,
digital currency.
GTA crypto.
Yeah, it's like, is the game.
You commit actual felonies while you're playing the game.
It's with the GTA series, it's like, okay, it's fun that I get to get into a car and I get to, you know, run people over. I get to commit crimes and not face actually any real punishment. But it's like, besides that, what is this game going to bring that's going to blow all the previous games out of the water?
I mean, I think just graphics and, you know, hardware. I mean, now they got the PS5 Pro, which I have now, is insane. Like, I mean, if you compare it to what we were playing on when we were kids, I don't do PC gaming, so they probably have better ones, but as far as consoles go, I've never seen anything like it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, when I was a kid, I was playing Pong with like, you know, 2 pixels or whatever, and to be playing this stuff now is just insane. So I think that's part of it. You have to see 12 years of hardware improvements, you know, on a new game, new city. I've been playing in Los Angeles now for 12 years. Again, They get to go to Vice City. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a female protagonist this time, which I don't think has happened before.
I did hear that.
She's pretty hot too, man. I mean, I know she's a video game or whatever, but whoever she's based on, I want to meet her because she's fine, dude.
It should be fine. I'm not paying like $1,000 for this game, though. I'm not going to pay above, what is it? What was even the price?
I think it's going to be like 100-something bucks.
That's insane.
I know.
For a video game?
Well, dude, the PS5 Pro, the system is 700.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm never going to not play. I actually might stop playing Madden a little bit just because college football is back and it is actually really, really good. In fact, you want real anger issues, start playing college football 25.
Well, there's another reason I have anger is because in Madden, they have Madden Ultimate Team. So, like, you're actually paying real-life money sometimes for these cards. And if you're not paying a lot of money, you got to spend hours making the fake money to buy the cards, you know? So sometimes it's just easier to pay actual money. But either way, it's... it takes a lot. Like, you can spend hundreds of dollars by the time the year is over building your team and stuff. And then to lose a game, dude, if something stupid happens and you lose or whatever. Or it's also, this is the part I don't understand how it's legal. There's like actual gambling on there. So, like, they call them, I forget, microtransactions. So, what you do is, let's say there's a pack, right? It costs $5. In that pack could be an amazing player, which would be worth the $5, or it could be absolutely nothing. So, like, you're buying pack. If you're a kid with your mom's credit card or dad's credit card, you can rack up $1,000 in 20 minutes just gambling. I mean, it's gambling. Like, how is it not gambling? It's a mystery box, basically, is what it is. And you don't know what's in it until you pay for it.
I bought one thing on Call of Duty one time. It was like some gobble gums that gave you enhancements during online play. I regret it ever since because I just can't. I can't justify it with myself anymore. I can't let myself. I can buy a video game, but I can't buy things in the video game. I'm not gonna buy the cool little characters. I'm not gonna buy the cool little cars. Like, I'm gonna whatever they give me, I am going to use. But I'm also a really stingy guy, so you know that's just me.
I kind of am with certain things, and there's certain things I'm not. Like, if there's something I think I need, then I just figure it. I buy it, and then figure out later how I'm going to pay for it. You know, it's just what I have to do. But I, you know, do you like games where you have to actually do stuff? Like the Wii, I'm like, if I want to play tennis, I'll just go play tennis. Like, I don't want to do anything.
You didn't enjoy those old back in the day when you were using the Wii and the nunchuck and like boxing and the ring?
No.
That one dude was always beating you.
No.
I don't know what his name was, but
if I want to box, I'll go box. I don't want cardio. I want to play video games.
Oh, I loved acting like I was McEnroe, just coming in there with my Wii, just hitting the tennis ball and being a real pro with it. It really helped my game, honestly.
Or I'll go to a party and they have this thing called Rock Band. They're like, here, you're the drummer. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I just came here to drink Mai Tais and sit on the couch, dude. I'm not here to, like, be a guitarist. I mean, what is this?
You don't like Rock Band? Rock Band was so good back in the day.
It's good to listen to. I don't want to be a part of the Rock Band.
Oh, no, not me. I was all for it. Let me be on drums. Let me be, let me get my Tony Barker dreams. And let me just live it. Let me be a rock star. And that game provided that to me, and I'm very grateful.
That's good. If I ever show up to the house and they have that, I leave immediately. Not that they care if I leave, but I don't want anything to do with it, man. People that are just way too busy. I hate people that are busy doing stuff. Like, oh, let's go bowling. No.
Real life bowling. You're not for it.
Well, especially on the Wii.
On the Wii, yeah. Yeah, I can see that as well.
It's like, I go to a bowling alley for $8 or spend $300 on a Wii and go bowling. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, bowling's only about $20 out here too. So,
I haven't bowling in a long time. It shows how old I am. It was like $8 when I used to go.
My sister profusely goes bowling with her boyfriend. It's weird.
I don't know if you use that word correctly.
Profusely? Consistently.
Okay.
Frequently
bowling. I think profusely means like you're like super adamant about something,
yeah.
Right?
Is yeah, that, okay. That's exactly what they are with bowling. I don't understand.
I don't think I use the word adamant right either.
Just some big words.
I think we should stay away from those syllables because I don't know what we're talking about.
More than two syllables is too much. But yeah.
What's your favorite game of all time?
Easy, Madden.
Yeah, me too, dude. That's all I play.
Even though it's a crappy game that is just a remake year after year after year.
What's the text line again?
702-364-1100.
If you got a PS5 and you want to get your ass kicked, text that and I'll give you my gamer tag.
Text in your gamer tags and we'll hand out.
Yeah, if you got a PS5, it could be actually. I think it's open platform, so you can be on anything now and still play me. So we'll see. We'll see what your skills are like out there.
Yeah, I'm decent. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, no, I need to. It's like I want to get more into video games, but I also am like I want to cut back. I want to just not be playing them all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be that one of those. I want to transition into the old men that I grew up around, who they didn't know what video games were, and they were stingy, and they were talking about some war that I don't know. I wasn't around for it.
I used to be like, oh, man, I should go out and do something because, you know, video games, it's like, you know, taking away my life. Then I'm like, dude, what am I going to do that's not going to get me arrested? I might as well just stay here and play video games, you know?
Oh, my God. It's free. It's just free. It's free. I mean, you have to buy it. It
cost me $700, but yeah.
Yeah, but after a while, you get your money's worth. It's a good way to save a little bit of money.
All right, whatever. Look, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Caulfield should be back tomorrow, right? Is he back tomorrow?
Yes, he will be back tomorrow in studio.
I've been Greg Salerno. This has been Griffin Kemp. That's been Devin behind the board. I don't know where Poof Justice went, but he's around here somewhere. See you guys later. Have a great afternoon.
Have a good one, guys.
I love you.